welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I am Mark DeFalco.
And Mark, I think this is our first time hosting together.
It is. Yeah. I got to be Brian Keller a couple times. It's kind of cool being you.
Yeah, it is pretty cool being me. Gotta say. So, unfortunately, this week we a bit of a downer. Longtime friend of Channel 9, Bill Hill, passed away unexpectedly this week. And I remember meeting Bill my first year at Microsoft, and he came and gave a presentation to a bunch of us new hires. And you know, if there's one thing that you can one word you can use to kind of describe Bill, it was passion. Yeah. I mean, he was passionate about things that you wouldn't expect anyone else to really take notice of, things like typography, which today typography is kind of a big deal, but back then not a lot of people were bringing typography and computers together in a way that that really made it kind of, you know, magical, and bringing these new experiences like Japanese fonts to computers in the first time that was going to not be bitmaps but actually represented as kind of a typeface. And he has some amazing videos on Channel 9, which you've watched these when you first joined the team.
When I first came on the Channel 9 team, I was looking at some of the older content, see what, like, kind of the roots of everything, and they were short usually, mm-hmm. but I mean, the amount of energy and the amount of passion, I think, is the exact right term.
Right.
The Homo sapien 1.0 is the most important operating system, was definitely a favorite. There's one space after a period.
I love sending that video to people. Whenever I see people doing a double space after a period, I'm right. like, nope, you're wrong. Here, Bill will explain it to you.
But yeah, so. one of the pioneers of reading off the screen, mm-hmm. which, I mean, this is 15 years ago or so.
Yeah.
This is well before e-ink and all this stuff has come out. And
yeah, definitely. So, Bill, you'll be missed. Thanks for being a part of the Channel 9 family. You always will be. So with that, onto some other news, which is that you can now pre-order Windows 8. So that's exciting. You can go to the Microsoft Store. A lot of people excited to get their orders in there. And then additionally, you can pre-order the Surface as well. So that was surprising this week. In fact, one of the models has already sold out.
Yeah, it's a 3-week back order after just a couple hours on the store.
Yeah. So I haven't ordered mine yet. I need to, but kind of waiting for. Waiting to get a little past build, and then I'll figure out what my Surface strategy is going to be. But I love these things, and the commercials are really kind of neat too.
Yeah.
So it's a fun time, exciting times. So the Windows Azure Mobile Services this week updated, and they have now support for iOS apps, Facebook, Twitter, Google Identity. So it's really neat to see these guys kind of rapidly iterating on the Surface. They have a backlog that you can make suggestions to. They're taking contributions over on GitHub. This is something that you're interested in participating in. I would say the only downer of this is that we don't yet have support for Windows Phone or Android devices here, but they have promised that that is coming.
Right.
So, you guys using this on Channel 9?
Not quite yet.
Okay.
We're again also wrapping things up for build.
Yeah.
So,
it's
probably soon after.
Okay. Cool. So, tell me about IE for the Xbox. I actually didn't even know about this at all.
Yeah. So, IE 10 is coming everywhere. It's already on Windows 8 if you have one of the releases, but it is coming onto Xbox as a full browser. So, you can go and browse the web. We do have support for HTML5 video. You can go ahead and watch Channel 9, so you can watch this video on Xbox.
Nice.
Watching us talk about IE.
About IE on it. Very recursive, yeah.
What we have linked here is a developer's guide, and there's nothing special technically about IE. It's the same rendering engine that's on Windows 8, and that is also coming to Windows Phone 8. But there's some considerations when you're doing the 10-foot viewing experience.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Xbox has voice commands, so you can take advantage of those for playback or for navigation. Integration with Smart Glass for typing or URLs. Doing things like paying attention to TVs. You don't generally have higher brightness than a computer monitor, so you may want to watch out for, you know, harsh whites or strict whites or things like backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the entire guide, it's about 15 pages. It's full of all sorts of things like that, tips and tricks on optimizing for the 10-foot viewing experience.
So what I'm dying to know then is, if somebody's watching this video on their Xbox and I say, Xbox, play DVD, did it just play their DVD?
We're going to find out.
Yeah, I guess we're going to find out. I'm going to go home and now try that out. And so the other thing, too, is that the Xbox has its own user agent. So now, as a web developer, you'll know that someone's accessing your site on their Xbox.
Yeah. So, yeah. Again, don't do browser sniffing for features. But, yeah, if you want to do something that, you know, pops you into a separate site or a separate page, or you just have a responsive layout that works that way, I think it's... They have it in the document,
okay.
But I think it's basically the IE10, and then there's the Xbox tag on it.
Very cool. Very cool. That's awesome. So, speaking of Internet Explorer, what about getting websites ready for IE10 on Windows Phone 8?
Yeah, so, again, it's the same thing, is the same rendering engine as IE10 on Windows 8. And, again, there's a different user string, and actually you can see it up there. It'll have the device and manufacturer. Which shouldn't matter too much. Again, if you're planning on customizing your site around resolutions instead of user agents. This article actually has some neat, since the Windows Phone 8 SDK has been a little harder to get people's hands on, this has a lot of tools about, tricks about actually testing in Visual Studio. You can change user agent string, you can change resolution, in the IE dev tools, as well as Visual Studio, and then test what it would be like.
Oh, okay.
So it's the same rendering engine as IE10. Mm-hmm. Just, again, the resolution and the user agent string, toss that on, and you should be fine.
Got it. Good to know. And
actually, one more thing. Yeah. IE10 also coming, there's a preview coming out to Windows 7 mid-November.
So
if you're still on Windows 7, haven't jumped on buying the Surface, or if you're waiting for Christmas to open up yours, then you can try it out on Windows 7 as well.
Or holiday season, just to be politically correct.
Yes, absolutely.
Exactly. So one more that you looked into here. This is layout and formatting with Windows 8 XAML development. So what's this all about?
So XAML is our markup language for using C#, VB, C++ for apps. If you're familiar with Silverlight, WPF, still XAML, still get to do all the same things. There are some minor differences. This is a good kind of starter for what brushes you should override, extending the panel class if you want to do some customization for your Windows development. And then there's a couple good resources here. This is on Safari Books, so there's two or three basically Windows 8 XAML development books you can grab on there.
Okay. So speaking of design, I've got to say one thing that does drive me crazy, if we just flip back to this slide, is when people take screenshots, and you can see here that they took the screenshot kind of in a design mode. So if you can see the little underline next to vertical alignment, horizontal alignment, it's basically like a spelling error. PowerPoint's telling them. So I don't know. That's just one little thing that I notice when it comes to design, but that's just
me. That's going to bother me now. I didn't notice that until
exactly.
You.
Yeah. Exactly. Sorry to ruin your world there. So this is an article that I liked. It's over on Code Project, and this is a, kind of an end-to-end overview of developing extension packages that work within any recent version of Visual Studio, so 2005 on through 2012. And I really like this article by Paul because it's just really, you know, pragmatic. It takes you through what is otherwise just a bunch of guidance that's out on MSDN, and shows how to create kind of a, you know, basic extension package that plugs right into Visual Studio. And I think a lot of people think that extending Visual Studio is for kind of companies that sell tools into Visual Studio, but really there's so many different things that you can do in Visual Studio, kind of customize it and make it your own. And obviously we're all developers, so, you know, we've all got ideas for that, you know, one little feature that would be really nice to have, or that custom tool set pipeline that we use within our development studio. Might be a nice way to bring that into Visual Studio or to your build process. So there's all sorts of neat hooks that you can just plug right into.
Yep.
So setting up TypeScript.
Yeah, TypeScript, as we talked about, just announced a week or two ago, is the superset of JavaScript compiles down into JavaScript. This is how to get that all working in Visual Studio. It's five steps, and two of them are download this file and double-click it.
Okay.
It's actually very simple. You go into the tools options in Visual Studio. You can just enable the compile all TypeScript files. You can also just check the minify JS and all that, and you have your full workflow. So start working on it. And again, it works with all of your, since it's a superset, all of your normal JavaScript already works.
Right.
And then you can just start adding in the features like modules or or things like that.
Got it. And you guys said that you're looking at this for Channel 9 as well.
We're looking at it. I mean, we'll look at anything that Like it's very similar to a less or SAS kind of approach, which are the CSS kind of concept of the same thing. Like there's a markup language. You compile it down to whatever the common one is. There CSS. This one is JS. So it's definitely useful. We have a ton of existing code already, so I don't know how much we'll but we're looking at it for sure.
Okay, all right, sounds good. So that's a commitment that Mark is going to start using this for Channel 9 starting this weekend.
After build.
After build. All right, post build activity. So I like this article. You know, I'm a Visual Studio evangelist, so I kind of compiled my own lists in the past of things that I love about Visual Studio 2012, but it's always nice to hear from someone in the community. This is Andrew Clear over at a company called Northwest Cadence, and he kind of goes through his top reasons that he loves Visual Studio 2012. So most of these, you know, we've talked about before, things like fakes, things like the feedback client, but it's really nice to kind of see in his own words the reasons that if you haven't tried Visual Studio 2012, or even if you have, things that you may not be are aware of what's in the tool set that you can go check out.
One thing he doesn't list there is building Windows 8 apps.
Oh, yes, that is true.
It's maybe a cop-out, but yeah. That's my favorite feature.
There you go. Well, we're each entitled to our own list, which brings us to our own picks of the week. So my pick of the week is, again, one of these designer-focused articles because, you know, for those of us that have started to dabble in Windows 8, I know you're building Windows 8 applications on the side, Mark. It's really important for us, especially as we come from a developer mentality, to really understand what are the things that we should care about to make our apps look nice and not kind of stand out like a sore thumb in the store or on the tile homepage. And so this is an article that takes you through some of the top things you should think about, such as have a beautiful tile. You know, your tile is going to be next to some other equally beautiful tiles out there, and you want to make sure that you've put some thought into that. Subtle animations, making sure that your app looks kind of alive and kind of, again, is on par with some of these other apps. Photography is another suggestion that's in here. So there's a ton of resources out there. There's design.windows.com, which has a lot of really pragmatic guidance in terms of how do you deal with one design decision versus another. How do you present multiple pages of information? What are the different paradigms that you can take, and when might you choose one versus the other? You know, just another good thing to be thinking of as you're going out and building those next generation applications.
Yeah, it is a different. It's a very different approach. There are those little things that you talked about. I mean, full beat photography, not something that you would imagine, but you open up in previous application platforms, but open up the news app or the sports app, and it's right there, and it's beautiful, and it's interactive, and it's immersive, and you go through. So definitely take a look through.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. And so that brings us to your pick of the week, Mark.
This is not what I'm going to do with my Surface when I get it, but... Our fearless leader and of Windows, Steven Sinofsky, took a ride on a Surface tablet that he attached some skateboard wheels to, and then just took it a spin around the studios out on campus, kind of a home of where Surface is from.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you're just showing off. Like, hey, none of you can have Surfaces, but I just have so many of them that I'm going to turn them into skateboards and whatnot. But it is cool because I think the point that he's trying to make is that these things are durable. They're not some flimsy piece of hardware. A lot of work went into kind of the design and the engineering, and they actually this past week they opened up the building to. A lot of journalists that came in and talked about the design process that they went through and kind of how they settled on the kind of click and the flip open of that kickstand. So it's really, have you played with the Surface yet?
No.
I've actually talked to like maybe one or two people at the company that have played with them. So I'm really excited to get my hands on one just like everyone else.
Yeah, I can't wait. And they've done a lot of demonstrations. I don't know how many of them are video of, but from... You can dangle it from the keyboard and it'll hold.
Oh,
and
wow.
They've done 3-foot, you know, drop tests, which in my apartment is on par with the usual case that happens with a laptop. So, I mean, these things are meant to be used, and they look beautiful. And
will it blend? That's what I want to know.
I'm waiting on that one.
Yeah, I love my Blend Tech, so I'm not going to apply it to my Surface. So thanks for being with us again, Mark, and
sure.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks.